Okay, so we are continuing in our mini sermon series that is developing into a mini sermon series. Last week was about the Good Shepherd, as in Jesus being our Good Shepherd. And then throughout the morning, very much realised, oh, I think there could be a part two to this message. So this is part two, The Voice We Follow, taken from John 10, 1 to 18 in the Bible, in the New Testament, and then verse 27. And we're referencing Ezekiel 34, which is in the Old Testament. Sam, just a bit wet. It's a bit boomy still. Should I switch? Just okay, good. Before we go into the sermon, the message, let us pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we can continue in our worship. Thank you that you are truly King, Saviour, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Almighty. Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you. Lord, I thank you for the people here, even in this room, for those at home, who are living a faithful life with you at the centre, through difficult situations, through very strenuous times. People, your people, are choosing to follow you. Thank you for their faith, for their inspiration. Lord, may you help each and every one of us with all the things we are grappling with, churning through, holding, carrying, even those things that are unsaid, unspoken. Thank you, Jesus, that you truly are the Good Shepherd who cares, nurtures, delights, wants the best for each and every one of us. Sometimes that is difficult to understand, but you truly are the best, greatest shepherd voice God that we could ever trust. May words that are just fluff and waffle, that aren't from you, may they not take root. May words that have been forged in prayer and trying to discern what to say, may words that are kingdom-fueled, faith-filled words, may they take root. Help us to encounter you through this form of worship, which is looking at your word and your truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so The Voice We Follow. I'm going to read this passage, John 10, 1 to 18, a bit later on in the message. And for reference, Ezekiel 34, we touched on that last week, very much with the kings. And I think it was 33 kings of Israel, and out of which there were 9 that did good and right in the eyes of the Lord, and the rest were evil in the eyes of the Lord. They were practicing all manner of things that were not good. And therefore, the people of Israel, the people of God, actually suffered under their kingship, under their rule and reign. But the Good Shepherd, Jesus, is the best King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And his voice is the one that we all need to be hearing and listening, being led to green pastures, being fed and watered and nurtured. So the voice we follow. Okay, it's not clicking forward. Okay, let's see. Yes, okay. I think, is that the next one? Yes. Last time we reflected on the Good Shepherd. So Jesus knows his sheep. And in this analogy, we are his sheep. For those who trust in Jesus, he's the Good Shepherd. I kind of want to say, can we all bleat like sheep? But I think, let's not do that. It's a bit weird. I'm sure someone would be very good at bleating like sheep. No, but they can be really awkward. I'm speaking about myself as a sheep. I can be a right pain sometimes. And I don't want to do what I'm asked to do. and I go off all over the place. But Jesus continues to know his sheep. No matter how far we stray or wander and drift and want to play, muck about, go up hills, go in ditches, wherever else it may be, Jesus knows his sheep. He calls us by name. He leads us, protects us, and ultimately lays down his life for each and every one of us. So that was last week. This week, I mean, Jesus is also that now. That wasn't just for last week, just to clarify. So, a question. If Jesus is the good shepherd, what about all the other voices competing for our attention? The reality is that every one of us is being shepherded by something or someone. Okay, perhaps not by a shepherd carrying a crook across the hills of Judea, but by voices that influence how we think, what we value, whom we trust, and how we live. Just a few things to ponder and to consider there. So the question is not whether we have shepherds. The question is, whose voice are we listening to and where is it leading us? So the voices in the world today. We live in a noisy age. At almost every moment, somebody or something wants our attention. Just think of your journey here this morning. How many decisions you had to make, all the demands, pressures that are put on you, and the consequences of your actions. News channels, social media, podcasts, influencers, political commentators, celebrities, advertising, friends and colleagues, amongst some of the voices and demands that we encounter. If we're honest, maybe the loudest voice is sometimes our own. Voices in our head, the flip-flop of what's right, what's wrong, the tensions, the frustrations. Ultimately, every day, voices in some shape or form try to influence who we are and how to live in this world. Some of these voices encourage fear. Some of these voices encourage outrage. Some of these voices tell us that happiness is found in success, whatever that may be. Others tell us our value comes from appearance, wealth, popularity, or power. Many promise fulfillment, yet so many people remain anxious, lonely, confused, and exhausted. So Jesus understood this problem long before social media existed. In other words, in John 10, he speaks not only of a shepherd, but also of thieves, strangers, wolves, and hired hands. And in other words, not every voice that claims to lead us should be trusted. The difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand, what is a hired hand? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Then he contrasts himself with the hired hand. The hired hand runs away when danger comes. Why? So in the context of shepherding, this is where the hired hand comes in with the shepherds. And Jesus using this metaphor. The sheep don't really belong to the hired hand. The sheep have no real investment to that shepherd, the hired hand. His concern is ultimately himself. The problem with the hired hand is not necessarily competence. It is motivation. The sheep are valuable insofar as they serve the hired hand's interests. And that distinction is still relevant today. Whenever leaders use people to build their platform, increase their influence, protect their reputation, or advance their ambitions, they are acting more like hired hands than shepherds. I'm going to repeat that again. Whenever leaders use people to build their platform, increase their influence, protect their reputation, or advance their ambitions, they are acting more like hired hands than shepherds. The good shepherd asks, how can I serve? The hired hand asks, what can I get? Very big difference. How can I serve? What can I get? And Jesus stands before us as the exact opposite of the hired hand. He doesn't take from the flock. He gives himself to the flock. Amen? How can we recognize bad shepherds? Oh, as a leader of a church, I often say, is it ouch or amen? This was like, oh yeah, ouch, and amen. Recognizing bad shepherds. One of the challenges Jesus presents is that bad shepherds do not always appear bad. In fact, they are often persuasive, impressive, and influential. That was true in Jesus' day as well. And it is true today. How can we recognize these bad shepherds? One sign is that they make everything about themselves. Good shepherds point beyond themselves. Bad shepherds continually point back to themselves. Another point would be, a second sign is that they tell people only what they want to hear. Tickling ears, fanciful things, chameleons, charlatans. The reality is, truth can be uncomfortable. Growth often requires challenge and correction. Bad shepherds avoid difficult truth because popularity matters more than faithfulness. The third sign is that they exploit rather than serve. Bad shepherds, they want followers more than disciples. How true is that today? They control more than mature, or encourage control more than maturity. Dependence more than growth. And perhaps most importantly, Jesus tells us to examine the fruit. What are you talking about, Andy? The fruit? What do you mean? Galatians 5, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear in there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and others. Examine the fruit, not the charisma. Not the confidence, not the popularity, the fruit. A good question to observe, to ask, to reflect on: what kind of people are people becoming under the shepherd, whatever voice or influence this may be? More loving? More humble? More compassionate? More Christ-like? Or maybe more fearful, more angry, more proud, more divisive? This is just a very small list to compare and contrast. Eventually, fruit tells the truth that words can hide. There's an ever increasingly revealing of truth expressed, I believe, throughout the world, particularly in Christian circles, within political circles and every other form of leadership. I mean, that is going to be a whole minefield of people, experiences, but in terms of Christian churches, Christian leaders, there's a lot going on where truth is being revealed behind the scenes and now becoming quite public. Bad behavior, bad fruit, manipulation, horrific things going on, sadly. Awful things. There is also great things. Let's contrast that with some incredible things. But leaders, Christian leaders, are human beings that are fallible, that can get enticed. Not perfect, far from it. Fruit tells the truth that words can hide. Strength is not the same as Christ-likeness. It's especially important today. Many people are searching for certainty in a confusing world, for identity, purpose, belonging, moral clarity. And that desire is understandable. But Christians must be careful not to confuse strength with godliness. A person may be confident, bold, persuasive, influential, even correct about some problems in society. But the Christian question is not simply, are they strong? The Christian question is, do they look like Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about blue eyes, blonde hair, whatever eyes, whatever clothing. No. Jesus was strong. He challenged injustice. He confronted hypocrisy. He spoke truth courageously. Yet his strength was always joined with humility, compassion, mercy, self-control, and sacrificial love. The fact that a voice is loud does not make it wise. The fact that a voice is popular does not make it true. The fact that it identifies real problems does not mean it offers Christ or Christ-centered solutions. So, we must continually ask, have a guess. Does this voice sound like Jesus? I'm going to read John 10, verse 1 to 18. And then verse, I think it's 27 and 28. Now, I'm reading from the King James. I know this is like Marmite, this translation. Bear with me as I read from this version. John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. He's talking to his disciples and people in that time. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not he might be saved, but he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, hired hand, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, I'm reading to 18. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus is the good shepherd. He absolutely is the voice to be listening to and to be trying to understand, grapple, be led by. There's going to be a part three, and that's next week, because there's so much to go through. How to discern the Good Shepherd? What about prayer? What about reading the scripture? How do we understand and hear Jesus' voice in today's world. Let's pray. Then we're going to continue in our response to this message with some more sung worship. Prayer is available, i.e., please go and receive some prayer. You may just want to be silent while people pray over you, or you just want to share something, a burden that you want to get off your chest, off your heart, and just surrender that. Sometimes it helps to do that with others. May I encourage each and every one of us, whatever we are grappling with, whatever voices have influenced us in a way that we know is unhealthy, unhelpful, has caused damage, pain, upset, there is always the opportunity to come back to Jesus, to come back to the Good Shepherd. For those who don't know the Good Shepherd, Jesus died for each and every one of us. We shared the communion meal. The language I use is quite flowery because of the kids in the room. But that blood, Jesus' body was given, was broken. And his blood that was shed, that atonement sacrifice, all powerful. There's nothing that even comes close to the power of Jesus Christ. His authority, rule and reign is absolute and complete. We can have freedom in Jesus, not by paying money, not by subscribing to a whole long list of books, but by simply surrendering our all to Jesus, recognizing we're sinners and knowing that he's a good shepherd. He's calling us, each and every one of us, those at home, those listening to whatever at some point, those in the room, he's calling us and leading us. Do we want to hear his voice? Thank you, Jesus, that you are the good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come before you, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what sins we've committed, no matter what voices we've allowed to influence. Maybe even we've been those voices that have caused hurt, damage, pain, and upset. But thank you, Jesus, that truly you are the good shepherd, that you laid down your life, that sacrificial giving of your life to each and every one of us. Thank you for the freedom, the love, the salvation we have in you, Jesus. And with all these seal voices, demands, expectations, people that are professing to be good shepherds, little bit of truth, but a whole long list of bad. Help us, we pray, to hear your voice, to know your truth, to be bold in our decisions, to trust in you, and to be led by you. Thank you that you are a voice of reason, a voice of truth. You are our moral compass in an ever-increasingly free-for-all society we live in. Thank you that you are compassionate, kind, full of mercy, full of grace. That lion and the lamb, that metaphor. May you help us to lift our eyes to you.